Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10x points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Holla talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than they're worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
I'm Matt.
And today we're discussing store brand surges, 401k changes, and inconvenient conveniences.
Know it, buddy. This is our Friday flight, and we're going to talk about the best headlines that we think you should be paying attention to that we came across this week. This is a small sampling of our favorite headlines. But before we get to that, we need to make sure we announce our Money and Love book winners. So, Money and Love, that's a book that we discussed this past Monday with Abby Davison. Mm-hmm. She talked about relationships, talked about the logic that we often employ when it comes to making some of these bigger decisions in life, and how we need a little bit of both in order to make the absolute best decisions.
Yeah, she had a helpful framework for mm-hmm. basically thinking about the biggest decisions we make in life, which often involve relational love interest kind of stuff, and also money, right? Like both of those things are simultaneously at work.
That's right. And we drew 5 winners. We announced the book giveaway during that episode. All you needed to do was reach out to us with your review that you left over at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And here are the 5 winners: Todd R, Mona M, Julian P, Matt D, and Maggie R. We will be reaching out to you, getting your mailing addresses and getting copies of those books on the way to you very soon.
Yeah, hopefully you'll enjoy that book and it'll help you make future money decisions with a little more...
with ease.
It's never easy.
No sweat at all.
Always a lot of stuff to weigh, especially when you're making big decisions with people that you love, with people that you're close to. But hopefully, I think I love what she said, Matt, when she said that you can make it, even if you look back, you don't regret the choice in nearly the same way that you might because you had a framework that you went into, whether you made an intentional choice, which is a big part of the problem. A lot of times we fly by the seat of our pants.
But, exactly. It was about empowering your due diligence process within your decision making.
Yeah.
Right? We just want to make sure that we're making decisions on purpose and not looking back and being like, did I How did that happen? That is not the position that you want to be in down
for
the
sure.
road.
Yeah. I just want to quickly mention that I'm working on getting the Amazon Prime student rate for our account because I totally forgot about this, but...
Like a college student rate?
My wife is in grad school. Why in the world...
Oh, snap!
...have I not taken advantage of this?
You can get like new computers?
Yes.
Student rates as well?
Well, yeah, we got... When
trying
she
to,
got
trying to stock up.
When she got her laptop, the very like beginning of school, we got the student discount rate on a Mac because that's student discounts abound. I'm realizing my wife was getting some clothes on sale at Madewell the other day, and Madewell has like a student discount. Like there's student
that
discounts all over the place.
That's awesome.
So if you're a student, don't forget to ask or Google it, check and see if there is one. But Amazon Prime has it too. So I'm hoping not only to get it for our Prime account, but also for our Prime Music, which apparently gets discounted too. If we get the student rate. So
I want those unlimited tunes at that student rate, buddy.
I know, right? I will report back. But just
awesome.
Reminder to all the students out there, their student discounts abound, and it's worth asking, it's worth looking into. But let's move on, Matt. Let's get to the Friday Flight, a quick sampling of stories we found interesting this week. And let's talk smack at the outset of this Friday Flight, about Wells Fargo. And they just got taken to task by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They have to fork over a whopping $3.7 billion because they're such a terrible bank.
Yep.
And $2 billion of those dollars are going to customers, and a record fine of $1.7 billion is going to the CFPB. And this is not, by the way, for new allegations of fraud, but for a slew of abusive practices that Wells Fargo has been engaging in over the past decade, which we have talked about here on the show.
Yeah. So, I mean, the worst of what they did came out like 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
But
signing people up for accounts like mm-hmm. that they didn't ask for, and just all sorts of abusive practices towards their current customers.
But I was reading, and they have had some issues even up in as recent as this year. Like, they've had some compliance failures I saw. So it's like, they're the most egregious examples of their misbehavior have been in the past. But even this year, they are still not doing what they're supposed to
be doing.
They've
gotten better, but that doesn't mean they're
not off the hook,
100% reformed. And the director of the CFPB, he actually said that Wells Fargo has consistently been one of the most problematic repeat offenders, which isn't something you want said about yourself. And he basically said that this settlement doesn't necessarily mean that the bank doesn't still have issues like you just said, Matt. And while they've made progress, there's still some rotten stuff going on in that bank. And so we would say, but you bank with Wells Fargo at your own peril. And really, you bank with the top, the biggest three or four banks at your own peril. We would say you should switch banks, go somewhere else. We have an article that we'll link to in the show notes about how you can do that and make it easy on yourself. But if you're banking with Wells Fargo, there's no time like now. No time like the present to not do that anymore.
I think that could be an excellent, simple to-do task for folks over the holidays.
For sure.
Right? Like, for the most part, you're laying low, you're taking it easy. You don't want to be running around, oh my gosh, like in the crazy cold weather that most of the country is experiencing right now. Like, this is totally something that you can do from the ease of your laptop at home.
Yeah, while you've got that, like, Arendelle fireplace on in the background, you know?
Exactly. But let's keep moving. Let's talk about high prices, because if you saw the most recent CPI numbers, it was nice to see inflation going down overall. One place, though, that wasn't the case is at the grocery store. Food prices, they have remained stubbornly high. And to that end, supermarkets are trying some different techniques to ease the pain and to get customers to maybe switch their allegiance to start shopping with them. A popular method that some stores are doubling down on is to offer more store brands. We're huge fans of store brands, and consumers are taking the bait. They're opting for a similar but vastly cheaper alternative. Kroger, they say that they're selling 10% more store brands compared to last year. We wanted to point this out because, just generally speaking, store brands, they are getting better. They're getting more popular. There are more options for you on the shelves. And if you're a name brand person, we think it's time for you to consider and maybe give some of those store brands a try.
Yeah, you might have tried something in the past, but maybe it's gotten better. So it's worth a shot again. And if you give it a shot at the right store, by the way, if you give store brands a chance at some of the lower cost grocery stores, you've actually got nothing to lose. And that's because stores like Aldi, Lidl they've got guarantees on their store brand items, which allow you to return them and get your money back altogether.
Oh yeah.
And so they'll refund and replace the item at the same time, which means no sweat off your back. And so Kroger, they've got a return policy that's not quite as generous, but at least they've got one on store brands. But it's important to mention that there's nothing to lose and lots of your grocery dollars to gain by opting for fewer name brands in your grocery cart. And Matt, there was another story this week about how expensive egg prices are getting. It's getting pretty absurd, right? But so every way in which we can save money at the grocery store, it matters right now. And store brands are just one of the slam dunk easiest ways to do it without having to like clip coupons and annoy yourself to death when it comes to saving money. It's just a simple way to make progress on that.
Well, and it's not like they're, so specifically with Lidl and Aldi, it's not like there's not store brands there. I mean, so there are a lot more. There definitely are, but they're like, last time we were over at Lidl, Wright's Bacon. That's like the really good stuff.
Yeah.
They're totally on sale. Got a multiple pound and a half packages of that for like $6.
There you go.
$6 each. Throw that junk in the in the freezer. But yeah, Lidl and Aldi specifically, I think they carry something like four times more of their store brands versus the name brands that they carry in the store. And so it's just a way. I mean, that is how you're able to save so much money, is because by default, you can't buy a whole lot of store brands because name brands, because they don't typically carry a ton of them. By default, you are purchasing the store brands.
And those Aldi and Lidl store brands are by default going to be cheaper than most of the other major grocery store brands, just because of the kind of business they run. And so store brands are a great idea. Store brands at the cheapest grocery stores out there is an even better idea.
Even more affordable. Joel, there are going to be changes that are likely coming to 401ks next year. We're going to probably know sometime next week, but it definitely looks like this bill, this is part of the omnibus giant spending bill that's set to be passed by Congress, likely signed by the president. But it will also include a Secure 2.0 bill, which means that retirement savers are going to be helped out on a few different fronts. First of all, RMDs, required minimum distributions on retirement accounts, they're likely to be pushed back to age 75 from the current age of 72 over the next 10 years. That's going to be helpful for a lot of folks who honestly are still working. They're socking money away and they don't want to have to take that money out.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're seeing the age of the workforce continue to increase as folks, they're living longer. They continue to be healthy and they want to be a productive part of society. Automatic enrollment in workplace retirement accounts plus annual percentage boosts are set to become law as well. And I think that's going to be great. That'll be a way to help a lot of folks to invest who just otherwise wouldn't because they either forgot about it or because of inertia bias, which is a fancy way of saying that they're just being lazy. But catch-up contribution.
Procrastination, really.
Procrastination. Like
what I did in college, that's what they're doing with their retirement accounts.
Exactly. But catch-up contribution limits, they're going to go up as well. They're going to be raised by a meaningful amount for folks over the age of 60. So in particular, for those who are further along, there are going to be a lot of provisions to help those folks out. And so we will definitely make sure to keep folks posted as this becomes law.
For sure. Yeah. So there's a lot of provisions in this bill that dramatically are going to change what people are able to do when it comes to saving for retirement, making it easier and just more reflexive for a lot of folks. And one other provision would allow employers to incentivize their employees to save up a small emergency fund within their retirement account if they make under a certain threshold, which is an interesting new feature, I think, Matt, that can help incentivize people to get that rainy day fund that they might not otherwise do. If there's a match that kind of propels them in that direction, I think that's kind of cool. And since 401k hardship withdrawals are going up in a meaningful way, according to recent statistics from Vanguard, from Fidelity, from some other 401k providers, this could be a really important part of this bill because, one of the worst things you can do for your financial future, of course, is to raid your retirement account before you get to retirement age.
Nothing like stealing from future you.
Yes. And so if you go this route, you might be solving a temporary money issue in your life, but you're creating a bigger long-term mess with taxes and penalties and the like. And just, like you said, Matt, stealing from future you, you don't have that money growing for your eventual retirement either. So you're setting yourself up to be working a lot later into your life than you might otherwise want to. And the truth is, like, a 401k loan is different. It's less egregious than a 401k hardship withdrawal. But we'd prefer that you think of retirement dollars as untouchable, even if there are ways in which you can access them. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Mm-hmm. And we'll discuss, like we said, more about these changes at some point in January if this bill passes, because there's just a lot of moving parts and we're not sure how it's all going to shake out at this point. But yeah, it sounds like there are some good changes. But as always, human behavior stymies progress, and we don't want to see you stymieing your own financial progress by raiding those retirement accounts before it's time.
That's right, man. Let's talk about paying for college, because we've talked many times about how 529 plans, how they're not our favorite spot for many folks to be socking away money. if you aren't crushing it, right? When it, like when it comes to your own saving into your own retirement accounts, where you're maxing out that Roth IRA and hopefully coming close to maxing out a workplace plan. If that's the case, the 529 plan should be off the table for you. But if you are one of those folks who is knocking it out of the park on that front, and you've got kids who are likely to go to private school or to college, a 529 plan actually might be a great account to consider funding. But there's an interesting twist. There has been a rule that was changed recently that might impact how it is that you opt to go about saving for those goals, and specifically who you might want to have ownership of that account. It's a nuance here that's worth talking about.
Yeah, so this is definitely another like headline that's worth discussing because it's going to impact how and in what way people save for their kids' college. You're right, Matt. It's something that we don't recommend for a whole lot of people, but for some people, it does make sense. And what some folks don't know is that a portion of what you invest in a 529 plan counts against your kid's ability to receive financial aid. So they're applying for college, and the college says, hey, you got all this money in the 529 plan, and so we're going to offer you a little bit less money than we would have because you've saved so well. There's a little bit of a penalty associated with it. The more you save, the more difficult it becomes to score free money from the college that they choose to go to. But FAFSA has made some changes that might impact how you choose to invest for your child's college future. And it turns out that money that's allocated in grandparent accounts is now going to have zero impact on financial aid eligibility for their grandkids. And in the past, that has not been the case. And we've said that you might want to solicit donations from grandparents for 529 plans that you open for your own kids. But now, effective for the 2023-2024 school year, the grandparents, might want to open the 529 plan of their own volition for the benefit of their grandkids.
In their own names.
Yes.
Exactly.
In their name, being the owner for the benefit of the grandkid. Mm-hmm. Because that's going to allow for maximum financial aid flexibility. And so it's a 529 twist, new quirks. It's going to have ramifications. By the way, we might be one step ahead of you on this. You cannot change the account holder of the 529 plan that you already have open. You can't transfer the assets that you have in your name to the benefit of your kids to your mom or dad or your mother-in-law or father-in-law. So that's important to note. And also just one more minor note on the 529 front. There's a proposed legislation that would allow folks to roll over unused 529 funds into a Roth IRA. And if that happens, we'll like them a whole lot more. They might become an account that we recommend.
Oh, yeah.
A lot more people consider.
A lot more options if that's something that you can do. There's certain stipulations around this. But again, that's a part of that Secure 2.0 bill and whether or not that actually passes. And if it gets modified, we're not totally sure. It definitely did have some stipulations, right, as to how long that account needed to have already existed before you could roll that over to a Roth IRA.
Yeah. One of the things we hate the most about 529 plans is how inflexible they can become. And if they have more flexibility, if you can roll it over into a Roth IRA, that's going to change the dynamics of how we feel about that account in general.
Totally.
Like we said, we'll update you hopefully with more on this front soon. Lots of proposed changes, nothing firmly set yet. But Matt, we've got more to get to, including we're going to talk about some new headwinds facing real estate investors. We'll get to that and more right after this.
You probably think it's too soon to join AARP, right? Well, let's take a minute to talk about it. Where do you see yourself in 15 years? More specifically, your career, your health, your social life? What are you doing now to help you to get there? Well, there are tons of ways for you to start preparing today for your future with AARP.
What about that dream job you've dreamt about? Sign up for AARP reskilling courses to help make it a reality. How about that active lifestyle you've only spoken about from the couch? AARP has health tips and wellness tools to keep you moving for years to come. But none of these experiences are without making friends along the way. Connect with your community through AARP volunteer events.
So, it's safe to say, it's never too soon to join AARP. They're here to help your money, your health, and happiness live as long as you do. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/wisefriend.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simons on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host. Or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry. Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
All right, we are back from the break, which means it is officially time now on our Friday flight to get to our ludicrous headline of the week. And this headline came from The Atlantic. The lie of consumer convenience.
Oh, I don't like this being lied to, Matt.
I don't either, man. This is going to be a good one. I love this article because it kind of calls into question something most of society, most of us today has seen as sort of like this unquestionable good, which is modern apps on our phones and services that make our lives incredibly convenient.
Yeah.
I'm sure this probably sounds pretty familiar, right? Like if anyone out there, if they've tried some of these services and they purport to save you time and they save you hassle, talking about apps like Instacart. If so, you've probably found it to be, you know, maybe it worked. You actually got some groceries. You found it to be pretty novel. Maybe you found it to be neat. But also, at the same time, there's a good chance you found it to be lacking. There's probably a good chance you didn't get all of the goods that you wanted to get in that grocery run.
Or some of the substitutions were just whack.
Exactly.
That's the biggest complaint I've heard about so many of those services is that somebody says, like, I ordered pickles and they gave me cucumbers. And it's like, I know they're the same thing, but they're not the same thing.
Originally the same vegetable, yes, but completely different. Yeah, at one point in the article, the writer asked the question, have all of these on-demand services that have come to dominate our lives, have they actually made them better or have they just created the illusion of efficiency? I think that's a great question. I think it's one worth wrestling with because oftentimes these apps and these services that we sign up for, the free trials are oftentimes more trouble than they're actually worth.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think if these apps are working for individual listeners out there, more power to you. But I think the reality and what this writer was getting to in this article is that they do promise something and then they rarely deliver what they're promising.
Or it's just like it's a subpar version of whatever it is that they're promising.
And so you're like, I'm going to get out of going to the grocery store. But no, you're not, because there's a few things that the shopper buying on Instacart that they missed. And so you still have to go to the grocery store to pick those items up. And it's a big pain. And not to mention that service is costing you a pretty penny at the same time, but it's not delivering in the way that you hoped it would. And so, we would say we think that there can be value to paying for convenience in some circumstances. So there's a reason most of us have upgraded from using our 2 feet to get everywhere to bikes and cars. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's worth the expense because we're able to get places more quickly. You don't have to DIY everything in your life to be frugal. But there's also this subtle lie, right, that this article draws helpful attention to, that that these services, they overpromise, they underdeliver. And we're told that they're going to make our lives easier so we can kick up our feet, we can take a break, take a sip of lemonade, read a book, whatever it is, paying just a few extra bucks to have our groceries delivered. Wow, how nice is this going to be? And how much more free time is it going to add to our schedule? But now is just a great time to reassess whether or not these services that we're paying for that claim to make our lives easier, whether they're actually paying dividends or not. I think it's great to revisit from time to time instead of blindly continuing to pay for a service that maybe isn't providing as much value in your life as you thought it was going to.
Yeah. And the writer, the author, she talks about how oftentimes it seems like what we're striving for is control. It seems like that there's maybe a higher level of accountability because maybe we have the ability to rate somebody who delivers us the groceries or chooses to skip the thing that they can't find. It's also kind of funny that she mentioned how she never leaves a bad review. And so it's like the one thing that actually did give you control, you're completely relinquishing.
But you're too soft. You're too nice to do it.
Yeah, you're too nice. But I think
I know bad review for me is like 3 stars, maybe. And it's hard for me to even go go there.
But another aspect of control that it makes me think of is it seems like maybe the entire generation of folks who are maybe the prime users of these different apps seem to be wanting like more control over the type of communication that it takes to interact with some of these different services, right? Because you could hail a taxi where you wave your hand and you look at somebody and you tell them where to go, as opposed to just pushing a button on your screen. Whether it's groceries, you know, you could totally go in there and do that yourself, as opposed to selecting boxes of the different items you want. Or like a house cleaner, right? Like actually talking to somebody, getting a quote, where you talk to them on the phone, they come over to your house.
Asking a friend for a reference.
Yeah. And so in all these instances, it's like there's a desire almost to remove the humanity from some of these personal face-to-face interactions, you know? And in that way, I feel like maybe actual human connection, which is typically a more robust form of communication, is just getting underrated.
Yeah.
And it seems like these platforms and the software that is going to alleviate all these problems, but in reality, it's leading to more frustration.
Yep, I think that's true. Yeah. On a lot of fronts. And again, paying for convenience can make sense, right? Like lives are busy, and things that can allow us can actually free up some extra time in our lives. Like sometimes it's worth paying for those things, but you got to know what the trade-off is. And you also have to think long and hard about whether or not the convenience that's being promised is being delivered.
Right.
And on a related note, by the way, Matt, Barry Weiss's new site, The Free Press, had an article on how frustrating and ubiquitous planned obsolescence is becoming. And I loved the title of this piece. It was called "Oh, Holy Crap," which this time of the year is fitting. But I can relate to the author's frustrations with cheap goods that unravel or break in what feels like no time flat. And, you know, you and I, we talked about how to avoid the trap of planned obsolescence back in episode 266. But if you want the TLDR, right, if you don't want to go back and listen necessarily, we would say it's important to do more research on the front end before making a purchase, to repair items that you own whenever you can, to buy more good secondhand to begin with, and then to own less stuff in general. We can't do anything necessarily as a whole about the reality that some of our appliances, washing machines, refrigerators, dryers, or whatever, they're not being made as well as they used to be. But we can be better shoppers and shop less often. But planned obsolescence, it's annoying, but it's something that I think that we can avoid, at least to some degree.
That's right. But companies, they still want you to buy their crap, right? And I'm sure you've noticed this trend, but email marketing, it's becoming even more intrusive. The Washington Post, they wrote about how some companies out there are basically abusing you, or at least your inbox, in an attempt to get you to spend more money. Information from HubSpot found that 33% of marketers are sending you an email at least once a week. Some retailers out there, like Bed Bath & Beyond, they're sending multiple emails in a single day.
How many 20% off coupons do I need, Matt?
And I'm not against receiving emails, but like, be strategic in how it is that you're signing up for different emails and notifications about discounts. Especially like if you're shopping for something, like I want to receive the information. Like I want that to be something that's on my radar. But
sometimes like you'll just put something in your cart at checkout. You haven't signed up for anything.
Sure.
And then you'll get an email.
That sucks.
That annoys me.
Yeah. When you go,
I think that's a bad marketing practice. And then on top of that, if they're abusing your inbox, it's time to unsubscribe.
Oh, totally.
As much as possible.
Absolutely.
I think we got to get these things out of our inbox. One, because they're annoying, and two, because they cause us to spend money that we otherwise wouldn't. And so, yeah, just you can do that manually. Hit unsubscribe it through Gmail or wherever you get your email. Or you can use a tool like Unroll.me, which can help you tackle that task more quickly. You're not like one-off hitting it, but you're like unsubscribing to a bunch of things at once. I think that can help. That can go a long way. And for a lot of people, man, fewer emails is a good thing, and fewer temptations to buy things just because they're discounted is a good thing too.
Most definitely. Let's get to our last story for today. The Journal, they had an article this week about how the rental property game is changing. And it's definitely true. It's harder to make the numbers work now when you're considering buying a home in order to start your own personal mom and pop landlord operation back in 2010, 2012, 13, 14, like after the Great Recession. It was almost like shooting fish in a barrel, right? And if you're looking to get a solid rental property, even 2 or 3 years ago, it was possible if you knew what you were looking for, if you knew what you were doing. Now it's harder to make the numbers work because of higher prices, higher interest rates. They've caused many folks to now sit on the sidelines. Not to mention like repair and maintenance costs are rising as well with the increased cost of goods. So we're not saying that it's impossible to snag a solid investment property, to snag a solid rental, one that makes sense for you over the long haul. But due diligence is going to be more important now than ever to make sure you're crunching the numbers so that this property is going to work for you.
Yeah, when we talked about financial flexibility recently, Matt, that's one of those things. It's like, well, yeah, buying rental properties makes more sense in some environments than others, and you have to be willing to adjust according to market conditions. And it's also just important to know what you're getting into, because rental properties, yeah, sure, they can be profitable, but yeah, they also have the elements of a part-time job many, many times. And so we still think that investing in rental properties can be a great way to build wealth. But be warned, right, that you might be looking for a long time before you find one that makes financial sense, where the numbers work out, where you feel like it's actually going to make sense, it's going to be profitable over the long run, and it's not going to take you for a ride in the short run either. And so if you're looking to get into the vacation rental market, by the way, that's not as appetizing as it's been either. Economic headwinds and inflation appear to be impacting vacation rental owners too. So if you were like, hey, I'm going to buy this property and turn it into an Airbnb, well, there are extra considerations that you need to think through before you take the plunge. And the number of listings on those sites are up, which means that the average number of bookings a host receives per month are down. There's just more competition there.
Yeah. Basic supply and demand. I think I saw, like, at the peak, there's something like 80,000 new additional short-term rental properties coming on the market.
Yeah.
Every single month.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
A month.
And that's
going to
impact you if you have one. So you have to have extra margin built in, knowing that supply and demand is going to shift over time.
Yeah.
The same thing is true if you're like, record rents, this is great as a landlord. But you also have to take into account increasing costs in other areas and the reality that those rents might not stay where they are for forever. So just another reason, by the way, to make sure that you've got plenty of margin, a strong financial backstop before you opt to buy a property, whether it's short-term or for long-term leasing.
That's right. Of course, if you are a guest looking at different properties, this is a good thing, right?
Sure.
Like, this means more competition, more options available for you at hopefully reasonable prices. But if you switch over to host view, this is going to be it's going to be more challenging.
Yeah.
Again, not that it's not possible to, you know, house hack or find ways to make your short-term rental make money for you, but the numbers just, they may not be quite as juicy. They may not be quite as nice as they used to be a few years ago, before there was a massive marketing push to get more folks to host properties.
Yeah.
but generally speaking, we think it's a good thing. We think it's great that an individual can choose to rent out a room or rent out a house while they're on vacation. We think that that can be a really smart use of the resources that are under your ownership. But if you are counting on some of these high rents, some of these high numbers, we just want to make sure that you're crunching the numbers twice and allowing for a little more margin than what you were initially expecting.
Yep, I think that's smart.
Yeah, be slightly pessimistic.
Don't plan for perfection, right?
You
don't want to be a perpetual optimist if you're taking on an obligation like a short-term or long-term rental. You want to have your eyes wide open and be a little more realistic than optimistic.
You want to be a realist. That's right, man. Well, hey, this is our last episode before Christmas. So if you celebrate Christmas, we want to wish everybody out there a Merry Christmas. And we hope you are staying warm. You can find any of the resources we may have mentioned during this episode up on our website at howtomoney.com.
Of course, we'll see you back here on Monday for an Ask HTM episode.
You know it.
And congrats again to the book winners of the Money and Love book. We'll get those shipped out to you shortly. And yeah, there's more giveaways to come in 2023, Matt, for
sure. Heck yeah.
We've got more of those socks hanging around that we got to get out.
We've got to get those socks out.
They're delicious. They're delightful. They look amazing.
Socks aren't delicious.
They're not edible.
That's
not
gross.
Like, yeah. Oh, we should get some How to Money edible underwear. That's,
yeah. For all the
all the freaks out there. We'll consider it.
And on that note, Merry Christmas.
All right. We'll see you later. Matt, until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.